And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There were moments in Jesus' ministry where he made some very striking and difficult statements. One of those moments was surely when Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Let's go ahead and admit that this is a head scratcher. We can only imagine what his disciples thought as they heard those words prior to him going to the cross. But here our Lord describes what it looks like to follow him, which includes the concept of self-denial, which is understandable enough, not easy, but understandable enough. But what is this bit about taking up a cross? And more than that, doing so daily. After all, the cross was a form of death. How can one die daily and yet live? Thankfully, we're not left to our own devices to figure out what Jesus is talking about here. He himself gave several related statements in this matter. But our epistle lesson for the day includes a fleshing out, if you will, pun intended, what this actually looks like. St. Paul writes, "Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." As you listen to those words, you should hear some verbal echoes from that passage and what I just quoted from Christ. And at the center of this idea, is the idea that in order to experience new life, there must be a certain death. In the Christian life, we must die in order to live. Of course, this is precisely related to the gospel itself. It was through the actual death of Jesus Christ that new life was brought into this world by his resurrection. This carries through to our own baptism, which St. Paul describes just two chapters prior to this as being buried with Christ in the likeness of his death in order that we might be raised to walk in newness of life. This pattern is also carried through into the Christian life, because even though we have been born again by the Spirit of God and the same Spirit has come to live in us, we still struggle against the remnants of our fallen nature, the flesh, as he talks about it here, which we were born with. Like the Israelites who were delivered out of slavery, there's always some desire to return to the flesh pots of Egypt. These wrong desires which crop up in our hearts and minds are precisely what our Lord and his servant, St. Paul, are telling us that we must put to death. It sounds harsh, but the deeds of the body that arise from our old fleshly desires must be decisively dealt with. These wrong desires cannot be coddled or mulled over. They must be put to death. Jesus said elsewhere, surely hyperbolically, "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off." Sinful thoughts, desires, and actions must be attacked by those who would be disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, with this concept in mind, let us explore briefly what these deeds of the body actually are, and then what practices have been given to us by our Lord to put them to death. The apostle does not elaborate on what the deeds of the body are in our text, but he does give several lists elsewhere in his writings. Scholars call these these vice lists. The most succinct and prominent comes from Galatians 5, where he writes, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand," he says, "just as I told you also in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That is a rather unpleasant list, is it not? But suffice it to say that these works of the flesh correspond with what he talks about as being deeds of the body in our text. These are dangerous practices. That's the point. In our lesson today, St. Paul tells us that if we live after the flesh, that is, practice such things, we will die. In other words, these deeds will kill you. But even more daunting is the idea that the apostle touches on in the text that I just quoted, which suggests that a continuance in such things could cut us off from the kingdom of God. This is why these vices, these deadly sins, cannot be coddled or ignored in our lives. We must deal decisively with these sinful affections and actions. We must put them to death. Now, this leads us to explore how we might put these deeds of the body to death. How exactly does that work? Well, listen carefully again to St. Paul's instructions in our text. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Notice that this sets all of this in the context of being a spiritual battle. This war must be waged with the spiritual weapons which are supplied to us by the Holy Spirit, who is given to us at our baptism and our confirmation. That is, we are to mortify or put to death the deeds of the body through the Spirit. Now let us think for a few moments about the activities where the Holy Spirit is especially at work in the Christian life. For it will be through these spiritual activities or disciplines that we will begin to overwhelm the works of the flesh or deeds of the body. First of all, there's prayer. "Watch and pray," our Lord tells us, "lest we enter into temptation." It is through prayer that we stay in contact with God. It sounds so simple and yet profound. Prayer can be both corporate and private, both formal and informal. We ought to find time in the morning and evening to pray prayers from our liturgy, from the Book of Common Prayer. We have the long form, the short form, and a real short form. But we ought to also make use of frequent informal correspondence with God. Perhaps you do this, sometimes with short prayers like, "Lord, help me," or "Grant me strength, Lord, to have victory over such and such temptation." The Holy Spirit works in us through our prayers and will strengthen us as we face temptation. Another activity by which the Holy Spirit works in our lives to help us put to death the deeds of the body is through reading and meditating upon Holy Scripture. The psalmist puts this idea into a memorable line when he says to God, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." This would seem to imply a certain amount of memorization. This is something of a lost practice among most Christians today, but it needs to be recovered. When you're reading through the scriptures, which you should do daily, you may find a particular text is helpful with some sin that you deal with in your life. When that happens, take the time to mark the text, write down the verse or verses, and begin the process of memorizing them. Remember that when Jesus faced the devil's temptations in the wilderness, that he answered each of them by quoting a passage of Holy Scripture that he had committed to memory. And finally, I would remind you that gathering with your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ to worship on the Lord's Day is indispensable to living a life that is pleasing to God. I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. It's here, though. It's here in this place where we confess our sins and receive absolution. It is here that we hear the Word of God read and expounded upon. It is here that we come to the Holy Communion to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. These are the means of grace given to us by which we might have victory over the works of the flesh. Today we're reminded that the Christian life contains the idea that we must undergo a certain death in order to live. This dying and rising begins in our baptism, but it carries through into our daily lives. Through the Spirit, we must put to death the deeds of the body in order that we might live. Sin must die in order that righteousness might flourish. I want to close with a prayer which I've adapted from our baptismal office, which expresses this very truth. Grant, O merciful God, that all sinful affections might die in us, and that all things belonging to the Spirit may live and grow in us.